go. As the great, the powerful second best quarterback in the NFL, I'd say Dak Prescott would say, ego, here we go. And here we go. Episode, who gives a fuck? Technically 67. The regular season of the NFL is over. Get these out of my head. Don't need those because I don't talk to anybody because this is a real show and I don't have guests. Not today. No doctors today. My voice is semi back. The NFL season is over. I told you in week one, and I've been telling you the last 3 years I've been doing this show, it's the quickest season in pro sports. It's the best season, but it goes the quickest in all the sports. Around football is essentially done. The full slate of games are done. It's a bit of a melancholy day if you're a football fan because as red-blooded Americans and Patriots, any red-blooded American or American Patriot, their lives should, if they're a sports fan, revolve around the NFL from September through January, and the regular season's all done. So good riddance, another one in the books. A lot of parody this year, as we all know, which is what you get from the NFL and not from college, because college football stinks, as we all know if you watch the show. Yes, episode 67, January 8th, the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus H. Christ of 2024. My voice is mostly back after screaming on a podcast on Ski Mask Collective to make my point Saturday. We're a little raspy, but we're back. We're doing it. And, yeah, so here we go. The playoffs in the NFL are set. We'll get to all the games. We're going to go through each matchup in a minute here. We'll go through and then we'll make our picks. Let me start first. As always, all super chats are read. If you have any questions or queries, you're welcome to put those in the poor people chat. And I will get to those as I goddamn well see fit. Okay, well, you know what? We got to put up this poor person comment because this is very important. Nanditty29, your daily Stancil did nothing wrong and Gino should apologize comment. Well, just a reminder there from Nanditty. I don't think Gino needs to apologize, but I also did nothing wrong, so I'll meet you in the middle there. But that's the whole reason I don't have my voice, so we're not going to get into that at the moment. Just a bit of a cough, because it's raw. Yeah, let me put a bow on the shit sandwich that was the another lost Jet seasons and my life full of lost New York Jets seasons. A couple things just from this week that are just, and one just from today, that are unbelievable Jets. You just saw this today. I retweeted it if you follow me. Or I tweeted about it if you follow me. Robert Saleh, in his post-game press conference yesterday, as the Jets finally beat the Patriots after losing 12 consecutive times to the Patriots. A meaningless game, but at least they beat Bill Belichick in what could be his last game. I'll get to that in a minute, too, as a Patriots head coach. After the game of the press conference, Robert Saleh admitted that they thought their mathematician on the sideline told them that Breece Hall was at 1,000 yards rushing. The poor kid finished the year at 994 yards rushing. That is, if I were him, I would be absolutely livid. He's a second-year player, so I doubt he's going to say anything. But that 1,000-yard mark is huge for running backs. That's what their careers are based on. How many 1,000-yard seasons did he have? And this poor kid, they left at 994 yards. because that clown Robert Saleh trusted blaming it on a mathematician on the sideline. I mean, just such a Jets thing. I mean, how Jets can you get? The poor fucking kid, back from breaking his leg last year, played great behind a non-existent offensive line, literally non-existent offensive line. And they leave the poor kid 6 yards short of a 1,000-yard season in his first full year. Totally inexcusable. I challenge any other franchise to make a mistake like that. I just couldn't believe it when I saw that, but I totally could believe it. As with everything else with the Jets, I always say to my friends, and Travis, who was on the show a few weeks ago, you may know him as a black man, we always say it's unbelievable yet totally believable with the Jets. I can't get over that. I can only imagine how mad Breece Hall would be. When running back careers are based off of 1,000-yard seasons, how many 1,000-yard rushing seasons they had, and this clown, all these clowns, couldn't figure out, nobody could figure out the kid was 6 yards short of 1,000 yards. It's just totally disgusting. It pisses me off, and it's just, I don't know any more adjectives. Disgusting, deplorable, inexcusable, pick your adjective. But fucking unbelievable. The poor fucking kid played his ass off for nothing. And then also with Breece Hall this week, my other thing I wanted to say, there was a press conference with Nate Hackett, the offensive coordinator who's only here because he's holding Aaron Rodgers' pocket. It's the same reason Saleh and Hackett are going to be here next year, because Rodgers brought them in because Rodgers is running the franchise. Thankfully, because these guys are lost. Robert Saleh's what is he? I think he's something like 15 games under 500 for his career, maybe more. I think his winning percentage is like 250, and they're bringing him back. The only reason Robert Saleh is coming back, the only reason Nathaniel Hackett's coming back, is because Aaron Rodgers wanted them here because he can have them do what he wants. Rightfully so. I'm not saying that as a negative way, but they're here for Aaron Rodgers because they can do his bidding. They'll do his offense for him, and they don't have to do anything. And Hackett this week also said, I don't know if he's just dumb or if he honestly didn't know it or if he's trying to play some kind of game. Hackett said, I believe it was this week or last week in a press conference, doesn't matter. Somebody brought up the effectiveness of Breece Hall in the receiving out of the backfield, which is obvious for anybody who's watched the Jets, how good Breece Hall is when the ball is in his hand in space, which the best way to do that is the screens and short throws out of the backfield, especially with our offensive line. And Nate Hackett this week said, I didn't realize Breece Hall was so good receiving out of the backfield. What the fuck? You know you're coaching this fucking team? Does Nate Hackett know he's coaching the offense? What does he want? I can't even yell anymore. What is he watching then? Did he not watch all year till he broke his leg how effective Breece Hall was? He said he didn't realize how effective Breece Hall was out of the backfield until around week 8. What the fuck are you watching? What are you watching in practice? What are you watching in games? The kid is a phenom. He's a freak. And this guy didn't realize he's good out of the backfield till week 8? What are you fucking talking about, Hackett? Jeez, the people this franchise finds. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know what I'm gonna have to have some kind of throat surgery if I keep doing these shows. Just totally inexcusable. Anyway, those are the immediate things. Looking forward, it's really simple with the Jets. Obviously, we all hope Rodgers is back. Basically, everybody's getting a freebie. For better or worse. I don't think they should. I think Sal has proven he's a defensive coordinator at best, and he clearly can't coach an NFL team, keep them together. That said, Aaron Rodgers coming back, all it is about for the Jets, All I want to see in the offseason, all I want to see in the draft, all I want to see in the signing is offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, and offensive line. We need a brand new offensive line. We have the receivers. We have the running back. Breece Hall, as I said from week one, is a top five NFL running back, if not top three, and I stand by it. And I feel like he's proven that even with zero offensive line this year. He's still, I'm going to say he's a 1,000-yard rusher, even though he's at 994 yards, because nobody could figure out what he's at. An NFL sideline, the highest paid sideline in all the sports, and nobody could figure out that Breece Hall was 6 yards short of 1,000 yards. So I'm going to call him, we have a 1,000-yard rushing back behind no offensive line. So all that matters this offseason is offensive line. We have the receipt. We have Wilson. We have some weapons at receivers. Easy to sign receivers if you need one in this league. There's weapons everywhere. It's more about the guy getting it to him. And Aaron Rodgers is waiting in the wings. I wish Aaron Rodgers can also shut his mouth a little bit more too. He can calm down. You didn't play all year. You can take yourself out of the spotlight a little bit. But that's besides the point. It's all about the offensive line in the offseason. There's really nothing else. The defense speaks for itself. Maybe we can shore up that secondary opposite of Sauce a little bit. The linebackers are grade A. The defensive line might be the best in the league. It's all about the offensive line, which is not sexy, but that's all that matters for the Jets. Because if they can shore that up, I said at the beginning of this year, if they can shore that up, you see the parity. You see the teams that made the playoffs, by the way, which obviously I'll get to in a minute. There's no reason the Jets, once again, can't be obviously contenders for the playoffs, but serious in the Super Bowl conversation. If with a healthy Aaron Rodgers and an offensive line, you can't put Aaron Rodgers at whatever the fuck age he is, almost 40, behind that a sieve of an offensive line. You put an offensive line together with the rest of the weapons on the offense and defense, and they are right back in contention. Now, knowing the Jets, something terrible will happen. Garrett Wilson will break his neck. Quincy Williams will do a home invasion. Breece Hall's back will fall off. Something, something will happen to the Jets. But in a normal world, if we can get an offensive line, they are absolutely in contention right off the bat next year with that offense with Rodgers and the defense they pretty much already have. Like I said, maybe shore up that secondary a little bit. They did get a little messy. But the problem with the defense this year with saying that, because I know they dropped in rankings second half, is they were on the field the whole year because our offense was just worthless, totally worthless, besides a few bright flashes. And, I mean, they beat the Patriots yesterday, who up there with the Commanders as the worst team in the league. That's really all I have on the Jets. Everything else we've covered in weeks past. All right, let's go around here. Let's talk about the playoffs teams. Quickly, one team that didn't make the playoffs, the Jags were 8-3. The Jags were 8-3 going into week 12. And I believe I think I saw their chances of them making the playoffs was 98%. And the Jags go on to miss the playoffs. Very disappointing. I understand they lost some weapons there. And I understand Trevor Lawrence is a young quarterback. But if you're a Jags fan, which are few and far between, that is brutal. That is pretty brutal to be 8-3 in the driver's seat three quarters of the way through the year and not only not win your division, but miss the playoffs. Bad job. Shame on you. And pray for the Jags fans. Well, fuck them anyway. Super chat, I'm a man of my word. Super chats are always read. Poor people chats I'll get to when I goddamn well feel like it. Stupid fat. Oh, this is White Julio. White Julio, fan favorite. We got to get him on here before we'll get him on here for the playoffs. We have to, White Julio. One, will we get playoff episodes of Sports Mass? Oh, of course. Absolutely. We're going through the Super Bowl. I'm planning to, I know we, I know last year we took a hiatus after the season. I'm going to try to just keep carrying this on weekly. We got Mead in the fold, ready to go with the hockey. Once the NFL quiets down, we got White Julio, obviously. The baseball, what do they call it? The baseball hot stove is coming right up sooner than you think. The Mets are already signing pieces of shit. Absolutely, Sports Mavs will carry on this year more than any others after the playoffs. Two, will you invite the elevator gentleman to said episode? Absolutely. Any upstanding citizens like the three hardworking men I met in the elevator that work on the 11th floor of 213 West 35th Street, who help fellow Americans who have been through the justice system find jobs and get degrees. Absolutely, I would love to have those gentlemen on this show. Anyone would be happy to have them on their show or in their studio. Read between the lines. Fucking idiots. Thank you, White Julio. We'll get you on here soon. God bless you, and God bless golf. And the golf, of course, as well, as football winds down the blah, blah, blah. Yes. So what do we got? Another note, just in general, two other teams. Talk about underachieve. The Dolphins and the Eagles. Two teams far ahead in the driver's seat halfway through the year. Both of them falling into the wild card. I think five seeds. I don't have it in front of me, nor do I give a fuck, frankly. And I'll get to them specifically in a minute. But the Dolphins lose the division to the Bills. Who would have thought a few weeks ago even that the Bills would overtake that division? Good for them, getting hot at the right time. Miami and Eagles are mirror teams, and we'll get to their matchups in a minute, like I said. But another shame, Stancil shame on the Jags, Stancil shame for the Eagles, Stancil shame for the Dolphins on not winning their divisions. Terrible. It wasn't like they were neck and neck all year. I mean, Dolphins were way ahead in the driver's seat, as were the Eagles, as were the Jags. So shame on all of those teams. We got to talk about the Eagles specifically for a minute. Obviously, they lost five of their last six going into the playoffs. I don't know if you can believe this. I actually did a small amount of show prep, and I got to play. If you haven't seen it, I got a clip to play because this Eagles announcer absolutely nails it. Of these guys going into the it's on Instagram. After the Eagles game yesterday, the Philly announcer, local announcer, hits the nail on the head better than I ever could. So let me give him credit and let me have him do my job for me. If I can get past all these breastfeeding videos. Here we go.
This team now for
about the Eagles.
2 months, Mike, you mentioned the games, has looked like an ill-prepared professional football team, not worthy to represent what we believe is a great city, and we deserve better than that. I thought you mentioned last week against Arizona was rock bottom. I thought it was. The way that team came out today, I'm embarrassed for them, for the preparation, the time, the guys to put that kind of product on the field against a New York football Giants, a team they are better than. I know I'm probably crazy.
Not just that. I mean, the fact that Dallas was down 10-7, and they were already falling apart. They had a chance. I mean, look, Dallas probably wasn't going to lose that game, but
it was 10-7. You're
Washington's
correct.
Washington's up 10-7, and the Eagles are already falling to pieces with a chance to maybe win a division and get a number two seed, and even that wasn't enough motivation to get them to wake up and play like a real football team. That's the most alarming thing about it.
Yeah, the Eagles are totally lost. And shout out to NBC Sports Philly and shout out to their lawyers. Thank you for that because you said it better than I could. Basically making my point. Yeah, the Eagles are totally lost. And I've said this for a few weeks now. You know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I said, you know, they had some bad weeks. They just got it. They need that big win to get back on track. They never got the big win. They've still not put it together. They look totally lost. And when I say lost, there is no fire. I'd rather there's no fighting on the sideline. There's no, you don't see a defensive player getting anybody's face. Jalen Hurts. Is Jalen Hurts like a Drake? Is he just a big pussy? I mean, who is this guy? Is he one of these guys where it's going well, he's a big deal, and when it's going down, he's just like, okay. It seems like it. I have no love lost for the Philly fan base in general of all the sports. They're all probably the biggest piece of shit sports fans in the country, Philadelphia fans. But at least they follow their team. I can give them credit for that. But the Philadelphia Eagles, from where they were early in the year, they are totally lost. And I'll get to their game in Pickett. I'll get to it when I pick their game. But they do not have the way they've been playing. That is not a layup next week. They are on the road in Tampa Bay. Not that there's a huge home field advantage there, but on the road from where they were early in the season, the first round of the playoffs, playing a wild card game on the road. And I mean, listen, you like to think they put it together next week or this week against Tampa, but you got no reason. At this point, we've been saying that for 3 months, basically 2 months. So why would you keep saying it at this point? Isn't that definition of whatever, psychosis? What is it? Insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again. So we'll get to that game a little more when we get it. Chris Mack, thank you for reminding me, because I did want to touch on Belichick before we get into the rest of this topical football stuff of these teams that are actually still playing. Bill Belichick. You know Bill Belichick in his press conference, he's basically a corpse, barely says anything. So you know you weren't going to get anything out of him. I have a feeling they, because here's the thing. There's no way, they're not like the Jets. The Patriots aren't like the Jets where they have, you know, they had a big injury this year or a couple big injuries and it was kind of a lost year. The Patriots are almost at square one going into next year. I don't think they have the quarterback on the roster. Their offense in general is nothing exciting there. The defense is mid at best, as the kids say. So my point being with all that is, Belichick, obviously getting older, you got to imagine he only, you know, wants a few years, 2, 3, maybe 5 years left of coaching. And just like the great Tom Brady did and other quarterbacks did, as a great head coach might want to do, is, you know, try to get a fresh start at the end of the career, see what you can do in another franchise, keep it fresh, keep it fun. As I've said pretty much all year, I think the place that makes the most sense is over there in the LA Chargers, where he has a quarterback waiting, he has an offense waiting. All they've needed this whole time is a real coach. Yes, they need to shore up that defense, but I think the Chargers and the Belichick is a match made in heaven for Bill. I mean, Bill goes to the Chargers, and that is immediately not only a playoff favorite, but a Super Bowl, in the conversation for a Super Bowl with the young, beautiful boy, Jesus, Justin Herbert. One of the most beautiful boys that have come through the league, truly. I'm trying to think who I... Joe Burrow is still, ooh, my, Joe Burrow. Sorry, I got a little distracted. Yes, I think Bill leaves. I think he lives out his golden a couple years. I think the Chargers are the best spot. Can that happen? I don't know, but I think he goes to a team that has a quarterback already. I'm too dumb and I don't feel like pulling up the teams to look at who that might be, but you guys can figure it out. But I do think they part ways after this year. I think, and amicably, I think Kraft, you know, they phrase it as they're going to let him, you know, do his thing the last couple of years, blah, blah, blah. The only other thing, the other side of that is, cause I just like debating myself. He spent his whole career there. If he only wants to coach maybe one or two more years, and only Bill knows that, he might just want to stay in New England, so he stays with the same team all year, not have to move, get a fresh, you know, all that shit. So if only he knows, but if Bill just wants to coach one or two more years, a couple more paychecks to buy another, you know, couple more islands, because God knows he has God money by this point, you know, that's where he may just stay in New England. He's already there, established. Everyone loves him. They're not going to fire him. He's only going to leave on his own volition. So that's the reason why I think Bill would stay in New England. But otherwise, if he does actually want to win and he wants to coach more than one or two years, I think for sure that Bill is out of there, because the Patriots are at square one. They next year is a rebuilding year, at least, at best, maybe. Thank you, Chris Mack, for reminding me. Like I said, folks, if you tuned in late, if you want your comments read, you got to make it a super chat. I'll get to the poor people ones eventually, but if you want it on the guaranteed on the spot, it's got to be. Ain't nobody got time for this. At DaveD23, by the way, is the Venmo. He's a guy that handles my Venmo for me and then sends it to me. So if you want to cut out the middleman, feel free. All right, back to the go around these playoff teams here, huh? We talked about the Eagles. Mike Tomlin, Jesus Christ, the Steelers. Mike Tomlin does it again. He somehow finds his way into the playoffs. The Steelers, the opposite of the Jets, whereas the Jets find new and interesting ways to lose and embarrass their franchise and fans, the Steelers time and time again somehow find a way to get into the playoffs. What is this? His 12th consecutive year with 10 or more wins, I think, for Tomlin, something like that. Probably the second best coach in the league behind Belichick, Mike Tomlin. He knows the thing about Tomlin is, and I've been, Steelers have always been my second favorite AFC team since I was a young boy watching Jerome Bettis truck people. Fun little side note. When we used to play pickup football, they used to call me the bus because I would just truck people. That's a fun little stencil fact. James R., I'm a man of my goddamn word. James R., $2. Sports Mass live from the lacrosse field. Yeah, eventually. Coming up, it's already January. Spring lacrosse coming before you know it. I'll be excited to show off my new body. Hold on. I've been screaming a lot lately. So, kudos to the Steelers and Mike Tomlin getting their way in there again. Another team, who would have thought? Packers find their way into the playoffs. I think we all know the Packers aren't going anywhere. But fuck it. Another franchise that seems to find their way into the playoffs all the time. My God. How my life would be different if I was a fan of just about any other team than the New York Jets. I think about that all the time. If my life, how, and I mean this literally, I'm not even being hyperbolic. If I was not a Mets fan or a Jets fan, and a fan of a normal team who occasionally wins championships, I really do think butterfly effect, my life would be different. Yeah. We'll leave that sad note. We'll let that sad note breathe because it's true. What else? All right. Let's get to some of these matchups for this week here, folks. And I'm going to talk about the matchups first, and then we're going to finish with the picks. A little short and sweet, baby. No fucking 3-hour episodes here. Quality over quantity. Nice, short, and all powerful, just like me. That's how we do these fucking podcasts, folks. So let's talk about the Dolphins-Chiefs matchups. I wanted to start this one with the GOAT. We know him here in the tri-state area as the Pope. Mike Francesa. Again, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw this today. I listened to this on his podcast. Somebody else clipped it for me. But I'll set it up for him. The Dolphins and Chiefs. Very sexy teams, especially the Chiefs, especially this year with the whole Swift and Kelsey thing. And I'm being serious with that, where you have people that don't even like football wanting to see the Chiefs. The Dolphins Chiefs on Saturday night are behind a paywall on Peacock. And again, Mike Francesa, the Pope, knocks it out of the park and hits a nail on his head as he always does. Enjoy. 2 minutes.
Peacock playoff exclusive, which you have to pay for. How many people in America don't have cable TV? How many people in America don't have smart TV? How many people in America don't even know what streaming is, no less finding streaming, or willing to pay an extra amount to get a playoff game? This is a joke that the NFL would do this with their playoff product. It's bad enough they would do it with a regular season game on a Thursday night, or do it with a regular season game on a Saturday. But to do it with a playoff game is the biggest slap in the face to their national fan base. People wait all year for these playoff games. They love these playoff games, and you're going to now charge them extra for a playoff game? They don't give enough. You don't make enough. The word is that the NFL got $110 million to stream this game from Peacock. They got $110 million to stream this one game exclusively on Peacock. That's it. Is this the wave of the future? They're going to have a hard time doing it with playoff games because there's going to be a tremendous fallout from this. And there should be, because it is the utter, utterly disgraceful, greedy reach by the NFL. Like they don't make enough money. Like their fans don't go into their pocket for jerseys, for all kinds of NFL merchandise, for tickets that are very expensive across the country. They don't show up and are there religiously every Sunday, and now you're going to charge them for a playoff game? It is the ultimate slap in the face to the best and most ardent and the most dramatically important fan base in America. Nobody gets the ratings, not even close, of what the NFL gets. And it's never enough. Anytime they can find another pile of money to grab, they grab it with both hands. And it never stops.
That's it. That's it. The great, the Pope, Mike Francesa. Everyone in the tri-state knows him as the Pope. If you live elsewhere in the country, I'm sure you know him anyway. The great, okay. I can't really do it because of my throat, but I could usually do a pretty good Mike Francesa. Oh, I see Tommy Seven Names. Tommy Seven Names knows old Mike. Yeah. Me and Tommy text about old Mike Francesa and Joe Beningo and the WFAN guys all the time. But absolutely, I mean, again, I can't really say much more. Mikey, old Mike Francesa hit the nail on the head better than I ever could. But I've said it all year. You hear me say it all the time. It's all about money with Goodell and the NFL to a disgusting degree. These Thursday night prime games that you can't watch anywhere at bars because, you know, you got to set a prime on every, you know, it's a whole thing. And we all know that. It's all about the NFL. All right, to get to this game, now, unfortunately, I have Peacock, so no big deal here. unfortunately, I think this is the sexiest game of the weekend. I had one more thing. I'm sorry, I have ADHD, and this is the fucking show, and I'm not apologizing, I don't care. But it is interesting. I thought this was, and again, these people love talking about the script. You've heard me rant about how there's no scripts in the NFL. NFL is scripted. But, so the fact that it fell this way is pretty unbelievable. If you actually look at the matchups this weekend, you have Tyreek Hill going back to Kansas City. You have Matt Stafford, quarterback in the Rams, going back to Detroit. You have the Packers going to Dallas to face off against their old coach, Mike McCarthy. You have Texas and Cleveland facing off against the team they traded Deshaun Watson to. And that's just the opening round. So each game has its own storylines, which is pretty unbelievable. I think that's just the way it breaks. I think you could find storylines in every game, but I did think that was pretty funny. And it is if you wanted to argue the NFL is scripted, you certainly could. Okay, to the game itself. at the Dolphins at Kansas City. I don't know if you folks have seen it yet. That's why you watch this program. The weather in Kansas City, the early forecast, 0 to -5 degrees in Kansas City Saturday night. If that holds, if that is the case, you can say goodbye to the Dolphins. That is a massive advantage to the Chiefs, a huge detriment to a warm weather team who relies heavily on their hands. And when I mean that seriously, as far as their passing game and Tua and not being used to playing in those conditions. So if those conditions hold, put your bets in early. Because if it does hold, I'm sure that line will move towards the Chiefs as the week goes on. So you're getting your early heads up now from your old pal Stancil Stradamus. And listen, the Chiefs need it. The Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs saved a little face at the end of the year. But you know, they're scarily similar to the Eagles, where they are in a dangerous position. So they better hope those temps hold. Temps they're used to, temps they've played in. You know, if they can get that one playoff win under their belt, especially against the Dolphins, I think they're right back on track. You know, it's hack to say because everybody says it, but it's true. You can't – if you have Mahomes under center and you have Kelce at tight end, forget about everything else. And that defense, one of the best defenses in the league up there with the Browns and the Jets and Kansas City, they got to be a favorite for the Super Bowl if they can get past this game. Dolphins, obviously a dangerous team, but again, in those conditions, it's going to be very tough for a Miami team to go to literally sub-zero temperatures on a Saturday night. And you know the Arrowhead fans, that place sells out. There's no out-of-town fan. Not only the Florida fans all suck anyway, but that is a scary place to play in good conditions with those fans. And you throw in -5, that's, you know, Dolphins are going to have a hard time. And that's what we got there. What do we got? Who do we want to go to next? Yep, Browns-Texans, you know, pretty straightforward game there. Like I said, the fact they're playing the team they traded Deshaun for is interesting. Past that, not a very sexy game. I think the Browns, we'll get to the picks in a minute. The Browns defense, obviously, by the numbers, you could say are the best in the league. C.J. Stroud is playing. You worry he lost to, I know Tank Dell is, I believe, still going to be out. But still, you'd love to see this young rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud, in the playoffs. He's dangerous. And boy, I'll tell you, if he can win that game, talk about a huge step forward for a young quarterback, similar to Trevor Lawrence last year. That'd be huge for C.J. Stroud if he could pull that out. But that is going to be a tough game for the Texans. Rams at the Lions. You know, Lions, as we talked all year, they kind of – Lions had an easy year. And to their credit, they got the early wins. But Lions kind of had a fairly stress-free year. You know, being in the driver's seat of that division all year, they had a scare a few weeks ago, but they pulled it out. The Lions, I think, really should easily win this game against the Rams. Anything can happen in the NFL. I think the Rams could win this game. I'm not saying to the definite. I think all things considered with their weapons, the one thing you worry about with the Lions is because they've kind of had some easy, stress-free games all year. Do they have the gumption to put it together in the playoffs right off the bat? Or are they going to have a little lag? Because you can't, you know what? You don't have a half to lag in this league. You got to come out. Steelers at the Bills. Yeah, I think the Bills. Listen, don't worry about the weather there. These are both foul weather teams. I think the Steelers making the playoffs should be their highlight of their year, as it should. I'm not taking anything away from them. But I think the Bills win this game fairly easily. This one I'm willing to say this is good. I would be very surprised if the Steelers find a way to win this game. We'll go through with the spreads in a second. We're talking straight up for all these games right now. I just don't see with that offense, and you know, they have some weapons on defense, but I don't think they match up well with the Bills at all. And the Bills will be at home with those mongoloids who douse themselves in condiments and throw themselves through tables. A real hack fan base, the Bills Mafia. Packers at Cowboys. Very similar setup to what we just talked about with Steelers and the Bills. I think the Packers, credit to them for making the playoffs. I think the Cowboys are going to absolutely dismantle the Packers at home. I think, and you know, a little sidebar here, again, a bit out of order, but I don't give a fuck. I think the Ravens, sorry to build suspense. Quick side note. I think the Ravens may very well win this Super Bowl very easily. Maybe the easiest we've seen in years. I think the Ravens are head and shoulders above all the other teams in the league this year. I've said that for a long time now. Lamar Jackson is clearly the MVP of the league this year. No other quarterbacks had great years. Not only that, under the radar, if you didn't see it, this is why you watch old sports mass. The Ravens quietly signed Dalvin Cook, who was released by the Jets and signed by the Ravens. And obviously they're not playing this week. They have the first round bye. But I think Dalvin Cook is going to play a big role in that offense in the playoffs. He's a receiving running back, I should say. We know Lamar uses his feet, and we know he excels when plays break down. And when plays break down, the running backs are your go-tos. They're your check down, and Dalvin Cook is that guy. Dalvin Cook might have Sansa Stradamus. I think Dalvin Cook's going to have a big role in the Ravens postseason, and he's flew under the radar that the Ravens picked him up this week. So keep your eyes on that. We'll talk about more about that next week. You may hear it more in the news next week, but you heard it here first with old Stancil. I think the Ravens, and I didn't forget about the Niners. I'm including them. I think the Ravens are head and shoulders above all these other teams. I think they have a cakewalk to the Super Bowl, absolutely, and I think they may even have a cakewalk to win the Super Bowl as well. Obviously, anything can happen in this league. And after them, I think if you're going to talk about the NFC, I think the Cowboys right now are my favorite. I think the Cowboys are my favorite out of the NFC. Solid all around. I said all year, I've watched the 49ers. I understand their weapons, and they are good. McCaffrey is a generational running back. The Wigger, Kittle, Debo, so on, a good, great defense. I think Brock Purdy is mid. I think he's the product of his weapons. And I just think the Cowboys have something going there. I think they have Dak, who's been around the block, who's not going to buckle, who's can make mistakes, but they seem in a really good place right now, the Cowboys, back to bring it all back against the Packers. I think it's a bit of a bloodbath in Dallas this week. Rams at Lions, like I said, Lions should win. And then I touched on it before, Eagles at Tampa Bay. If I told you 7 weeks ago that Eagles playing Tampa Bay, first of all, if I told you 7 weeks ago Eagles would be playing in the wild card round of the playoffs, you would call me crazy, much less playing on the road. And much, much less if I told you they could very well lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first round of the playoffs. As we talked earlier, heard the clip, the Eagles are totally lost. The coach is lost. There's not even comments after the game of we got to do this, got to do that. It's always, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. You've lost six out of your last seven. You lost a division. You're on the road. It time to figure it out passed about 4 weeks ago. This team is lost. Now, listen, the other side of this is this could finally, we keep saying it, but you have to say it again. This is the one team they could play, luckily for them, that they could put it all together with. So if the Eagles are going to put it together, this is, well, obviously it has to be the week because they're eliminated. If not, I get that. I'm not an idiot. But my point is they couldn't ask for a better team to play to get a win in the playoffs and hopefully get that one win that gets them back on track with all the weapons they have, with all the skill they have. To be playing like this. This coach, if they do somehow lose this game to Tampa Bay, which is not impossible at this point, you can say goodbye to Sirianni. You can say goodbye to that fat WAP security guard that all those idiots in Philly love. Say goodbye to all of them because this is – if the Eagles don't win a playoff game, one of the bigger meltdowns in recent history. Not of all time, but in recent history, absolutely, this year for the Eagles. All right. I'm going to quickly go through the poor people chat, see if we got anything, and then we'll do the official picks with the spreads, and we'll get the fuck out of here. Stancil face, red heart shape. Oh, thank you, little Lemmy. Don't make me blush. Hi, Hacks. Hi, Gemma. Who is that? I'll give you credit. Citizen Macabre Poppy. Sure. Leo Gunn in the chat. The great Leo Gunn. Classic. These we saw. Hack it. K-O-K diff. Good little point here. I don't have Andy's a member, so he certainly gets his put up. Or they're talking about Breece Hall, or the Jets owed him a bonus at 1,000 and they fucked him. If that is the case, I'm sure we'll hear about that because that is obviously something we would have eyes on. Mac Jones was bragging about putting on 10. Plus pounds of muscle since he got benched. Yeah, well, good for him. Muscle doesn't make you a good quarterback. Chris Mack talking about Tomlin. He's never finished a season under 500. Thank you for that, fellow stat. James R. doing programming notes now. Peacock, home of the 2024 Olympics. That's sports related, I guess. All right. Flip the script on these Herb Stancil. Thank you, Tommy Seven Names. And you know fucking what? Get ready, you cocksuckers. It's the playoff edition of Stancil Picks. Bet with Stancil. You hear the music. In the words of Dak Prescott, here we go. We're going to make the picks with our dicks with the spread. Saturday afternoon, 4:30, Browns at the Texans. Texans getting 2.5 at home. They can keep the 2.5 and shove it right up their fucking Texas asses. You're welcome, Cabana King. And fuck you, Chad and Ray. Oh, no. Sorry. Fuck you, Cabana and Ski Mask. You're welcome, Chad and Ray. I don't see how the Texans and the rookie quarterback overcome the Cleveland defense. And the great running back they have there in Cleveland. Give me the Browns minus 2.5, less than a touchdown. I think that's a lock. Excuse me. Next game, Saturday night on Peacock behind a paywall because Roger Goodell loves money. The Dolphins at Kansas City, as you heard here first, temperatures 0 to -5 calling for Saturday night in Kansas City. Say goodbye, you warm weather cucks of Miami. Football's made to be played in the cold. Sorry to Dan Soder's best friend, head coach. Sorry to your little cute post-game conferences. And sorry to your little cute outfits and quips, Dolphins head coach. I don't know why I can't remember his name right now. It doesn't matter because they're going to lose. I'll take the Chiefs minus a 3.5. The Chiefs are going to win by a touchdown or more if those temperatures hold. Give me the Chiefs minus 3.5 Saturday night. Steelers at the Bills up there in Orchard Park. Shout out to Carl from Who Are These Podcasts and the dumb mongoloidal fans who throw each other through tables up there in Buffalo. Bills are minus 9.5 there. Now, I'm going with, you may not believe this, I'm taking the Steelers with the points. Bills win, Steelers cover. It's a January in Buffalo. You know, it's going to be some kind of, maybe not weather, but low temperature. These are both cold weather teams. So I think the Steelers will come to play. Mike Tomlin is a Hall of Fame coach. So I don't think the Steelers have the weapons or the personnel to win this game by any means. But I think they keep it close enough where they cover the 9.5. Give me the Steelers plus the 9.5. Bills win, Steelers cover. Rack me. Packers at the Cowboys. Cowboys laying 7.5 at home. That ain't gonna be enough. Good for you, Packers, for making the playoffs. Now go eat your cheese and fart into a toilet and let me marry one of your strippers at the strip club Weasels and give her a ring made out of straws and then have sex with her the night after and let me find out she has a panther tattooed above her vagina. This is all a true story that has been recounted in Sports Mass of Yore. Anywho, yes, the Packers are going to go back there to Wisconsin. The Cowboys are making a statement there at 4:30 this Sunday, burying the Packers at in Dallas. Dallas minus 7.5. That's an easy one. Rams at the Lions. Lions minus 3.5. Don't mind this game. I think this will be a close game. I don't think the 3.5 is enough to scare me away from picking the Lions, though. Stafford going home. I know it's sexy. You might think he has juice, but I don't think it's going to be enough. Give me the Lions. Give me the Lions minus 3.5. This is the one I said. I'm not told. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams do pull this out. You know, because the Lions may be a little soft from their fairly easy season of low-pressure games. But I think if all things hold, the Lions should win this game by 4 or more. Give me the Lions at home, minus 3.5. Oh, boy. And then we got Monday night, actually. I forget. We have a Monday night wild card game, which for our viewing pleasure, I like. The Rams-Lions are going to be the night game on Sunday. We got the Eagles in Tampa Bay. Bucks are getting just 3, no hook. Eagles are minus 3. Boy, we talked about it a lot already this episode. I would not be surprised at all if the Eagles lose this game. However, the smart money in me is saying the Eagles can't possibly go out like this, can they? The Eagles, I think the Eagles take their medicine this week, all week. They're going to hear about it, how they tank, how they this, how they that. You got to think, with all their weapons and with the Tampa Bay team, who, again, good for them, but Baker Mayfield, I mean, Mike Evans is ageless and unbelievable the way he still plays. The Eagles really should be on another tier. Sorry, James R., man of my word, I didn't see the super chat. James R., $2. Happy New Year's, everybody. Not too late to say. No, not at all. Thank you, James R. Happy New Year to all of you. We're living in the future. My presence is a presence. Kiss my ass, in the words of Kanye West. I'm the smart money. I'm taking the Eagles. They have to get it back on track. And if they do, to any level, get it back on track, they'll easily win by more than 3. So give me the Eagles minus the 3. And there's your first week of the playoffs here at Sports Mass fucking Collective. Thank you, everybody who watched and joined us live. It makes it more lively. I knew this was a bit short notice and going up against some certain other shows that I may be on, such as In Hot Water and MLC. But I don't really give a fuck. I do the show when I want to do it. I don't give a fuck like these other clowns. Ooh, I should do it at 4 because I'm going against Kevin. Ooh, I don't want to do it at 2 because I'll be going against Gino. I do the show when you want to be a fucking man. Do the show when you want to do the show. That's how Jim Stantz will do it. God bless you all. Enjoy the playoffs. I do plan... actually, no, I don't. Since I did all the games, probably won't get another one till next week. Maybe we'll see. Maybe if I have a certain guest or two that want to do a sports mask, maybe we will do another one this week. It's only Monday. Maybe we'll see about doing a little NHL preview. Hint, hint. All right, folks. If I don't talk to you, enjoy the playoffs. And especially this weekend. After this weekend, you know, these weekends, they already are with the NFL season being over, like I said. This is your last semblance of a football weekend. We got Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then after this weekend, you know, unfortunately, we're down to 1 or 2 days of football. Before you know it, we'll be in the Super Bowl. And then we'll hit, as I say every year, the sports abyss. From February till April and baseball starts, that time period. The dead of winter, just shitty NBA, and fairly boring hockey. So enjoy these weeks, and I'll see you later. If nothing else, I will see you on Ski Mask Collective later this week. No Stancil Tuesday tomorrow. Sorry, your loss. Bye. Oops, there we go.